Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
When we really get right down to it, in this auditorium this morning, we're just common folks. We're just sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. There's jail keepers in here, and there's business women in here, and there's people with a lot of past in here and been through lots of problems and drugs and difficulties in their life. What do we have in common? We have Jesus in common, and with Jesus in common, we can see great things done for the glory of God.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you, and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reaching Forth Spiritually.
If they have never confessed the fact that they're a sinner, you see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, if we're saved, have had a point where we've said to the Lord, Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I ask you to be my Savior, because the church can't save us from our sin. The baptistry water can't save us from our sin. The fact is that only Jesus Christ can save us from our sin. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we must humble ourselves before the Lord. You say, well, I have been saved. I've trusted Christ. Well, then may I say that if you're going to be able to lead, if you're going to be able to serve more effectively, we also must say, I've got a lot to learn. I've got a lot of listening to do. Moses said to God, when God said, I want you to go into Pharaoh, Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, I'm not qualified for this. I don't know what to do. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, he said. And that ought to be your prayer and mine. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going to go, because I cannot make it without you. It was an honest assessment that Paul the Apostle made. He was humble in his assessment, and may we have that spirit. But not only was it an honest assessment, I want you to notice there, letter B, that Paul became easy to direct. He was easy to lead. Now notice in verse 12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Would you say that phrase with me, please? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He says, I follow after. Now, what he's telling us here, he says, I haven't apprehended Christ yet. I'm not like him to the extent that I want to be. I don't know him to the extent that I need to know him. But he said, I'm following after him. I'm looking to him. He is my goal. I'm easily directed to him. He has my attention. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ephesians 5:1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In other words, follow God like a child would follow you. You know, the great thing about being with children that are 4, 5, 6, and 7 years old is that when you say, all right, it's time for a Bible story, they want to hear the Bible story. It's time for a walk. They want to go on the walk. All these different things. Children just seem to eat right out of your hand, don't they? They want to know what the Bible says. They want to know some stories and learn these truths. And God says to all of us, that's how I want you to be. I want you to be easy to direct. I want you to follow God like a child would follow, and to have a tenderness toward the things of God. And in this hard world, in this argumentative world, in this divided world, we need to have a heart that is not jaded, but a heart that is tender to God. And so we're to follow after Christ, easily following, and then apprehending God's purpose. He says, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Christ Jesus. In other words, the God who came to us through his Son, the God who apprehended us, wants us to apprehend him. You see, the Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. He came to us. And Paul says, since God came to me, I want to keep running to him. And running to him, I want to be easily directed to him. And so the first way, as we come to this starting line, we say, Lord, I've not yet arrived. I've got to have your help. Approach this year with humility. How many of you are with me so far? Yeah. Approach it right there with humility. Secondly, what's the second bit of advice he gave to them? The second word I want you to write down is the word focus. The word focus. Now notice that in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, there's humility, but this one thing I do. Let's read that phrase together, ready to begin. But this one thing I do. There's the focus. He says, I haven't arrived, but there's this one thing I'm going to do. Now may I submit to you this morning that often our trouble is a lack of focus, not a lack of time. Now, I've said this too, and you have. Boy, if I could just have another 24 hours in a day, and most people, if they had it, would squander it like they did the other 24. Our need is not always more time. Our need is often more in the way of focus. Paul said, this one thing I'm going to do. There have been books written on this subject, management books on the subject of finding your one thing and doing it well. And I believe that's derived from this biblical principle, this one thing. And Paul's one thing was Christ and knowing Christ. I read an amazing book over the last few weeks entitled Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. I'd recommend every parent of a teenager get the book, by the way. It's not a Christian book, secular book. Digital Minimalism. It challenges the reader to focus our online time to a smaller number of apps and activities that serve the greater purposes of our life. It challenges the reader to be more focused in the area of social media. It teaches how the creators of Facebook use psychological methods to give users a little dopamine hit whenever they get a like or give someone else a like. And it talks about a lot of the science and psychology that has been employed by the creators of the social media sites, this psychology of addiction that has created such a culture into which that the average American spends 57 minutes a day not using Facebook wisely, but just spending time on Facebook to have that little hit back of some form of acceptance. And the author of the book challenges the reader to optimize their use and to live with more intentionality in their everyday life. Well, this is the greater theme of what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying there is a great intention that I have in this life. There is an intentionality about me that there is one major focus, and everything else must be subservient to this one major focus of my life. And the major focus was knowing Christ. He said, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, this is the one thing that I'm going to do. Now, if you've read the verse before, you know that his one thing has two parts, doesn't it? So let's look at that there in verse 13. He says, but this one thing I do, first of all, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past. Now, I don't know how last year went for you, and really, I don't think it really matters in the sense of failures or even sometimes successes. You see, the fact is that every one of us at a new year have the opportunity to forget those past failures. And to come to a place where we put those things behind us. And there are many in this room that need to learn how to be good forgetters. We need to learn how to put some things behind us. And I've learned in counseling and different settings that it's actually amazing. Some people can bring what I call their gunny sack full of hurts and problems, and they can remember things from 7 years ago and 5 years ago and 6 months ago. And he said, here it comes. And boy, it's out on the table. And can I encourage you that if you've been hurt, that you might be challenged this morning not to ruin your future by living in your past. Now, Paul could have lived in his past because before he was a Christian, he was a persecutor of the church. When he became a Christian, he was on the road to Damascus. As he was heading up the road to Damascus and the light of Christ shone upon him, he was involved in persecuting the church. He had brought much havoc to the church. He could have regretted that. He could have lived in that past. But he said, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to forget the past hurts. I'm going to forget the past failures that I've had. And I want to encourage you to set those things aside as well. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players that ever played, he said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I was entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is precisely why I succeed. And I want to encourage you, friend. I thank the Lord for my fifth grade school teacher who taught me that little poem. If at first you don't succeed, what is it? Try again. Paul said, you know what? I'm going to put my failures behind me, forgetting those things which are behind me. Let me encourage you, friend. You say, Pastor, I fell into some sin last year. And what a tragedy when Satan tempts us and when perhaps sin has come into our life. But let me tell you what, if you're saved today, your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, you're not saved because you earned it. It was a gift given to you. In fact, the Bible says concerning sin, Psalm 103 and verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression for us. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is God's not thinking about your sin, and you don't need to be thinking about it. You need to thank God for his forgiveness. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm saying this morning is don't ruin your future by living in your past. Paul said, I've got to forget the past. Here we see a man that was forgetting the past, and then he was, notice this, reaching to the future. Verse 13 again, he says, I reach forth to those things which are before. Now, friend, this morning, you are either hanging on or you are reaching forth. And I meet people all the time that are just hanging on, just waiting for retirement, you know, just waiting for the bailout. They're just kind of hanging on in life. And I want to challenge you, don't just hang on. Reach forward. You are either living a life of passive consumption, or you are living a life of intentional pursuit for God. You're either biding your time or you're going forth on purpose for the Lord. And Paul said, I'm reaching forth with this purpose like a runner crossing the finish line. I'm stretching for it. In fact, he was, I believe in his mind, thinking of that day when he would see Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, friend. We're all going to see the Lord Jesus someday. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. You see, Paul was pressing toward that mark. As he stood at the line, he stood there with humility. Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. But he stood there with focus. Lord, this one thing I do, I'm pressing forward to know you more, to serve you more, to love you more. That's the one dominant thing in my life. Business is good and sports are fun. All the other things are important, but there's one great, great thing in my life, and that is knowing the Lord. And I want to encourage you this year, while there may be many trivial pursuits and many needful pursuits in your life, that you would make the Lord the main pursuit of your life, knowing him, knowing that you're saved, knowing more of his guidance through his word, that you would reach forth in this way. We see a man challenging the church, but God challenging us to have humility as we begin, to have focus as we begin. And let me give you one more word and we'll be done. Thirdly, to have the right goals as we begin. To have the right goals. Now look at verse 14. He says, I press toward the mark. Notice that word. I press toward the mark. That speaks of the goal of his life. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I hope you've had some time to write out some goals. Now, I've written goals out for my personal life, my family life, for the church. I've written out goals for the college. They're in writing. I've put action items behind each of those goals. And I think it's important. Someone once said, life is like a muddy jar. Sometimes you only see clearly when you sit still. And I hope you've had some time to sit still and let some things settle and really plan some goals. I'm sure some of those goals, as I said earlier, might be around some physical things. I heard of one woman this week. She said, my favorite thing to do at the gym is to leave. That's probably a reflection on her goals. One fella said, I'm on a strict running program. I started yesterday and I've only missed one day so far. And so that's kind of how goals go. You know, if you don't put some action items behind them, maybe have some accountability. And goals are necessary. But when it comes to this overreaching goal concerning Christ, I want to challenge you in two ways as we close. First, set eternal goals. Press toward the mark speaks of the mark of seeing Christ. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. As your goal must be supported by actions, if you want to know the Lord in the new year, then settle this matter of your salvation. Has there been a day in your life when you were born into the family of God? And if not, why not now? When by faith you would say, I'm going to accept Christ as Savior. I know I can't save myself. I want Christ to be my Savior. And if you know him, then set a goal to read his word this year and to learn how to talk to him and to learn how to apply Bible preaching into your life. These are the spiritual marks of maturity. I texted a friend of mine who lives in Iran this week, and he accepted Christ as his Savior many years ago here. And I don't text him. In fact, I haven't texted him in a long time. I just try to protect his anonymity there. But I just felt led to just send a quick text. I said, I'm praying for you. I woke up this morning and I looked at my phone there, and the first text I had back was from him. He said, it's kind of crazy over here right now. He said, I sure miss our happy, loving church family at Lancaster. Folks, we ought to pause this morning and thank God that we're not trying to worship in a place where we have to fear telling someone else we're a Christian. We ought to thank God we live in a country that, with all of our problems, you didn't have to worry about someone seeing you when you drove here this morning. We don't have to live in fear that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here we have this freedom, but let's use it today to press toward the mark of knowing him more and loving him in a greater way. Paul said, I want to know Christ. This is the prize of the high calling. And I remember years ago visiting the city of Corinth, and I wanted to see what they call the Bema seat there. And the Bema seat is where the judges would sit, and they would sit on this particular rock platform, and they would watch the athletes as they would come running in front of them. And when the winner would cross over the finish line, they would give them this wreath made out of olive tree branches, and they would place it onto the head of the winner. And the Apostle Paul is likening his Christian experience to running faithfully to the Lord and looking to receive the reward from the Lord at what is called the Bema seat, or the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And Paul said that's what he was living for. He said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wanted to know Christ. In fact, he said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And what I want you to realize is this is our opportunity to be living and preparing for that day, to be mindful that one day when we see the Lord, that we'll have the privilege of worshiping him and knowing that we were faithful to him. And so, set eternal goals for your new year. And then let me say this, seek them with a passion. Seek them with a passion. I'm going to elaborate on this more tonight, but I don't believe that passion comes from knowing the why. We hear that today. Millennials want to know the why. Why, 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 why? And people want to discuss. And knowing the why is important. I'll grant you that. But I would submit to you, knowing the who is more important. You may know all the whys. You may have all the explanations. You may be great at argumentation. But if you don't know the who, you haven't even begun. And the who is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, passion begins to develop. There's a love that springs forth. As Paul said, I'm going after this. I want to know. I remember when Terry and I fell in love, and I saw her long blonde hair in Bible college there in San Dimas, California. I said, I want to get to know her a little more. Got to know, and we found out we grew up in the same youth group together. My heart began to race, and I began to think she might be the one. I'm telling you, I couldn't get enough time with her. Why? Because she was the who. She was the one that I wanted to know and to be with. And I'm telling you, when you understand what Jesus did for you on the cross, and when you begin to fall in love with Jesus, no one has to call you and remind you and break your arm to get you to church. You want to go where you can learn more about Jesus and you passionately serve him. That's what Paul meant when he said, I press toward the mark. Frank Laubach was a missionary to the Muslims in the Philippines in 1915 and 1921. Amazing, amazing man. He found that they were having trouble telling the Filipinos to study about Jesus because they couldn't read. And so he established a literacy program that is credited with training more than 60 million Filipinos how to read. And as they began to learn how to read, they were then able to learn about Jesus Christ, and tens of thousands of them turned from religion to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior alone. He is the only American missionary to ever be remembered on a postal stamp. Back in 1980, he was remembered for his great work in the Philippines. He wrote a letter to a friend as he was serving as a missionary and not seeing a lot of fruit. And I'll just share with you three lines and we'll be done. He said in this letter, "I am disgusted with my unled self. I am disgusted with my unled self. I must surrender wholly to God. I know of no other way." Now, he had his career. He could have gone through the motions. He could have gone in at 8, gone home at 5. He could have enjoyed cultures and learned languages and had a nice life. He could have just kind of gone through the motions, but when he came to that place of saying, "I am disgusted with my unled self," when he realized that he was pressing for nothing, he was pressing to know no one, he was not living with passion, when he then surrendered his life wholly to God and found that there was no other way, suddenly God began to bless this man's life to the point that he touched 60 million other lives. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that needs to get disgusted with your unled self and come to the Lord humbly and wholly and say, "Lord, I want to pursue you. There's lots of other trivial goals, but you are the main goal this year. You are the one thing, the one person that I want to know and that I want to serve. And all the other deeds that I do, may they all be to your glory. May they all be for you." Humility, that's when we say, "I can't do it without the Lord." Focus, that's when we say, "He is the one." Goals, that's the mark of knowing Him and learning more of Him. So think about those two goals as we close. First, think about seeing the Lord someday. Do you expect to see the Lord in heaven? Now, here's what the average person would say, "Man, I hope so. I don't want to go to the other place," and that's a very wise deduction. But the Bible says you actually can know that you're going to see the Lord. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, if there's anything we would want to know, it should be that we have eternal life. That's something we should want to know. In fact, it says in John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So I would encourage you today to settle this fact that you have believed on his name, that you're not trusting in the Baptist church, the Catholic church, any church, but that you have put your soul's keeping in the safe, powerful hands of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're ready to see him. And if you're knowing in your heart that you're going to see him, then make sure that you are reaching forth to know him. If we're not reaching for Christ, none of the rest of it will matter. To know him, to live for him.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.